time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. For better vision, near or far, should have gone to Specsavers. Get $150 off Specsavers' quality range of multifocal lenses. Limited time, conditions apply. Yeah. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
You got that right, big fella. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Molloy. Hello, Dave.
How you going, Mickey?
Don't stuff this up. Right, this could be one of our best shows ever. Have you seen the lineup?
Massive.
This is unbelievable. Paul Kelly playing live in the studio. Bang. Glenn Robbins.
Wow.
The cardigan wearing Glenn Robbins wears it like no one else.
He does.
Even Bill Gates.
He pulls it off.
He goes, that's how you
wear
a cardigan.
You're right.
We'll be in to have some fun down the back of the show. We'll open up, though, very shortly with Lee Sales to walk us through last night's budget and tell us what it means to you, mums and dads, out there in Triple M land. We're going to take a look at some of the richest men in the world and some biographies. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. We've got a song whisperer.
Let's get into it, huh?
It is on fire.
Thanks to Specsavers, get $150 off their quality range of multifocal lenses. Limited time, conditions apply. It's Molloy, Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
This is Molloy on Triple M all around Australia and through the listener app as well. Budget night last night.
Did you watch it, Dave?
I did not watch it,
I was at Frydenberg. I had high expectations. I told you, I wanted him to bite that off a bat. It's a bit of showbiz.
Right-o.
Take your shirt off like Iggy Pop.
You think it's a bit boring the way it's been presented?
Straddle a cannon like Cher.
Ooh,
you know
there
what
you
I'm
go.
Saying?
I'm in now. I'm
Juggle
turning that on.
Chainsaws.
I'll be watching then. Turn it on.
Well, he didn't deliver for mine, but why don't we ask the best in the business?
None better.
She knows what's going on. It's Lee Sales from 7:30. How are you, Lee?
Good. Look, every year I get there and I think, is this going to be the year where we're going to have some blood vomiting or something? And there's
right.
just not.
No, that's right. Backup dancers. Is that
there
too much
go.
To ask?
It's not too much to ask, Mick. I mean, I sort of do the control S search through the budget papers looking for a little bit of budgeting for bats, backup dancers, glitter. It's never there.
Why not? Now, listen, I know budget's a big day for you in your calendar year. It's like Christmas for some of you proper journalists. You got locked up. What was the vibe? Talk us through that scenario.
Oh, the vibe's always vaguely nauseating, which is because you're always locked in this office with no windows. You know you're going to be there for hours and they take your phone off you. So literally all you can do is read about fiscal stabilizers and nominal GDP for 7 hours.
I love the way you roll.
It's just party when you hang
rock
with me.
And roll. Can you take it to the toot with you? Can you read your pre-copy of the budget on the toot?
You know what? They're so sensitive about it that last year, in fact, when we got the lock-up thing, it said if you needed to go to the toilet, you'd be escorted. And me being the prima donna I am, I was just like, no, I'm sorry. I'm not being escorted to the toilet, you know. What do you think I'm going to do? Think I've got a mobile phone hidden up my bum and I'm going to transmit the budget papers out.
Imagine you just hear pages flipping and you get to one and you just hear tear and you go, That's not good. Okay, we've had some good treasurers in our time. Keating's, Costello's, Swans, Hockey's. How did Frydenberg go? What are you thinking?
Well, it's clearly the kind of budget that you deliver when you're going into an election, which you always see the same thing about every 3 years, which is a big spendathon.
Yeah.
So that's what they're doing. And
it's like a Labor budget, isn't it? I mean, I looked at it and I went, traditionally, that would be the type of thing they would contest at every level.
Spending,
but it's just like something that the Labor Party would produce.
And the thing is, for those of us old enough to remember, which is basically if you're older than the age of four, until 5 minutes ago, the coalition was screaming blue murder about debt and deficit and how it was a sign of incompetence and economic mismanagement. And now they've firmly embraced it now.
Yeah, they sure have. What does that mean to your mums and dads out there? What's the bottom line? They're preparing a pretty soft landing. Is that fair to say, post-COVID?
They are, and they're banking on a couple of things happening. The most important thing for Australia's economic future and for people's job security and so forth is to get this vaccination rollout happening, which has been off to a pretty slow start. And so they're banking on having most people vaccinated by the end of the year, which, I've got the Prime Minister on the program tonight and I'll be asking some questions about that because we're well behind that.
Can you ask him for me if Greg Hunt's an anti-vaxxer?
You think that's what's going on?
I just get the feeling he's not that keen to get it into people's eyes.
Ah, that's interesting. They've infiltrated the top ranks. It's like the Americans.
That's right.
Someone's infiltrated at the top.
Yeah. They'll have named Pete Evans in their cabinet. So, tell me. So, yes, so that's
so your vaccines, and they're needing sort of economic growth, basically, to come roaring back pretty much to, you know, help people stay in jobs and so forth. But the tricky thing for Labor as well is, you know, I noticed Anthony Albanese out today and the Shadow Treasurer Jim Chalmers out last night saying, you know, for $1 trillion of debt, we don't have a lot to show for it. I think the government's response to that is, well, we've got one of the best performing economies in the world, and we've got basically no COVID. So actually, you know, we've come through pretty well. The question is whether we've, you know, have we spent the right amount? Have we spent too much? How are we going to get back out of debt and, you know, all that stuff?
And a bit of money for the oldies there, probably about time. I don't think anyone would contest that. Yeah. Can I ask you, so now you might say I'm being a bit cynical here, but I put it to you, here's his approach to women. Treat them publicly as disgracefully as you possibly can during the course of your term and then buy them off at the election. Does that sound like his way of engaging women?
That sounds like probably what his harshest enemy would say,
well,
Nick. So, are you on the payroll for Labor?
But I'm just saying he isn't. His policy towards women has, you know, he won't even turn up at a rally, is my point. But that's all right.
My colleague Annabelle Crabb was pointing out that, you know, compared to last year's budget where they did, you know, they were heavily criticised for not having enough for women, certainly they are putting money into things that do affect women's lives because, say, women bear a disproportionate load of caring responsibilities, whether childcare or caring for parents. And so money going into that thing should assist women to sort of participate more in the workforce or to making their lives easier. So, but you just have to see how the money's actually spent. You know, it's one thing to have it earmarked and then you've got to see how it actually rolls out and where it rolls out and so forth.
Well, I think Labor do have a bit of a problem because you may have gathered I lean slightly to the left, but I find nothing, I think it's pretty sound given the circumstances and where we're heading, and it seems almost compassionate.
The shadow treasurer, Jim Chalmers, was on the show last night and his top line was, well, Lee, their heart's not in it. And I was thinking, oh, man, you're in trouble if that's all you've been able to come up with.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing what kind of case they will mount. Mm. Thank you for your time. Get stuck into the PM. I always look forward to it. The gloves are always off. You're the best in the business. That's 7:30 tonight. Thanks, Lee. Thanks for swinging
by. See you
soon.
You got it. See you soon. Thanks, guys.
Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy on Triple M.
Actually, he's a billionaire.
These are billionaires, Richard.
Eccentric billionaire.
All that power, all that money.
They're a little unorthodox.
A little wacky, maybe a little crazy.
Malloy's billionaire roundup!
Fools! Hey, it is billionaire roundup because there's a lot of billionaire talk at the moment. Elon Musk's on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill Gates is getting divorced. Yep. This is huge news. The two richest men in the world, Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, were both recently divorced.
Mm.
Huge sums of money floating around.
I imagine.
But today I'm leading off with Bill Gates and an article that appeared in the New York Post saying Bill Gates was known for womanizing naked pool parties.
What?
Naked pool parties and womanizing and getting chicks from nude dancing clubs and popping them in his pool while his friends were there. Mate, I'm not making it up. It's in his biography.
He's your full sort of nerd sort of style operator.
It's in the 1997 biography, Overdrive, Bill Gates and the Race to Control Cyberspace.
Right.
He's just gone up in my estimation.
Yeah.
I mean, I just saw it. You cardigan-wearing, four-eyed little nerd.
On the computer.
In the meantime.
Yeah.
He's having wet cardigan competitions out the back.
Naked chicks.
With hotties. It says in his autobiography, he'd drive down to the nude clubs, round up all the girls, take them back, pop them in his pool, and him and all his nerdy mates would sit around having a laugh.
On their Microsoft computers and all that.
I'm going to read that biography, by the way.
What's it called?
This sounds good. Overdrive, Bill Gates and the Race to Control Cyberspace. See, I've always thought this.
Mm.
Welcome, James Blake.
Hi, guys.
Resident nerd and billionaire aficionado. And this is why, because all the richest people in the world are nerds. The nerds one day, if you know that, don't they?
All
the nerds are the...
Yep. All the rich people are IT.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Get them while you can at school, lads.
Yeah.
Kick sand in their face, do it whatever, before they become the richest men in the world and you go work for them.
Yeah.
But listen, Bill Gates, now, James, here's my theory on Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be the richest man in the world by a mile, you don't want to frighten the horses.
Right.
You don't want to be threatening. So you don't want to turn up. You don't want to name your company, I don't know, Crash, Kill, Destroy.
Yep, gotcha.
You call it Google.
Yep.
Google.
Sweet.
Or Yahoo.
Oh,
Apple.
Yeah.
Apple. Yeah. Apple. Yeah. Somebody said offensive. And you know what you do? You wear a cardigan.
Mm-hmm.
And you wear big goggles. And you go, look at me, I'm just a nerd. I'm running a nerdy company called Google or Microsoft. You don't want to turn up like you're in the Third Reich.
Yeah.
No, no.
Because people are going to go, oh, my God, this is the richest man in the world. We're all in a lot of trouble here.
No. Yeah, yeah. You go up quietly. You don't want to be like
Do you see something to that? Do you reckon he's bunging that
Absolutely.
On? So that we don't feel threatened
Yeah, but what I will say, Microsoft, after those parties, I don't think it'd be Microsoft. I think you'd be...
Oh, my Lord.
He's not... Oh. You're saying he's not Microsoft in the pants?
Oh, I can't believe
Is that
John.
Your...
That's my... Nerd alert! Nerd alert! Just my insult?
You can go now, James.
Okay.
No, don't go. Have you read that biography is what I wanted to ask.
No, not yet. That'll go on my list. The other ones that I
What have you read?
So I read Elon's autobiography.
Yes.
I read Jeff Bezos' one.
Right.
Steve Jobs. Common theme through all of these.
Yep.
Yeah, nerd. That's what you are.
No. Nerd alert.
Nerd alert. All nerdy.
No, they've all had really sad childhoods.
Oh.
Like really, really sad.
Would you read a biography of someone who didn't have a sad childhood? What's the point of that?
No, exactly.
This guy's had a good life.
Mm.
Yeah, no.
You'd be.
No,
where's the trauma?
Need a little bit of grit in there.
Where's the foraging around in a bin for a meal? Where's the sleeping in a bus stop chapter?
Rags to riches, that's what you want.
That's what I want.
Yeah, redemption.
So what was Jeff Bezos' like?
It was like so super interesting because he started off all nerdy, like didn't.
Oh yeah.
He's now.
And then next thing you know, bang, dick pics.
He's super buff.
He's super buffed, and he's flipping out the dick pics. he's just bought the biggest boat in the world. I think it's called SS Dick Pic.
Okay. 127.1 meters, $500 million. It has a support yacht and a helipad.
Jeez,
it's impressive.
Yeah. Do you reckon he's delivering parcels while he's doing that? Do you reckon that's how he delivers his Amazon parcels?
I reckon he's having a couple of nude swimming parties.
Do you reckon his captain has to deliver him on time or he gets his wages docked?
Maybe.
Do you reckon the captain's allowed toilet breaks at all on that boat? What would that boat be called? Read 'em and Weep?
At the moment, it's being called...
Idiots.
Project 721. Very mysterious.
What's that? Is that what the boat's called?
That's what it's been called at the moment. Nerd alert!
Nerd alert! Do you know what? This is a good topic.
Right.
What biographies have you read? Because I find this interesting, what people read and don't read.
No,
and
right.
What Hui, obviously, at Triple M in the rock and roll department.
Cash by Johnny Cash is one of my all-time favourite biographies.
So,
yeah,
Keith Richards for me, especially the bit where he describes how small Mick Jagger's penis is. That's all I need.
That's what you
I flipped straight to that page.
Did you?
Yeah.
Quite a theme.
I mean, that's a good biography.
Yeah, yeah, you're
is
right. But that's what you want to read.
That's right up my alley.
Yeah, me
Sticks.
Too. Oh, Sticks,
the Stephen Kernahan story, co-written by Tony DeBolfo.
Right.
Just a story about a pretty, an amazing guy who just loves kicking a footy.
Right.
It doesn't get much more complex than that.
That was it.
I tell you what, 133353, ring us up, tell us what biographies you're reading, would like to read, should read. We'll have it at Triple M Book Club.
I like it.
Triple M Book Club.
Gather around,
please.
Give us a call, 133353. This is Malloy on Triple M.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
We're talking biographies because astounding bombshells in Bill Gates' biography. He used to throw parties with nude chicks in his pool. And
see, that goes against everything you think about Bill Gates. You think he's just...
Gone up in my estimation.
Right.
And then James here said he read Jeff Bezos' biography.
Yeah.
I read Keith Richards' biography. Mm. You loved Johnny Cash. Got us thinking. Let's have a Triple M book club.
I like it.
Tell us. Help each other out. What biographies have you read that we can put the audience onto? Andrew's on the line. Andrew, what was it for you, mate?
Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue.
Oh, yes.
Motley Crue. I'd take anything from Motley Crue. Now, Nikki Sixx was called The Dirt, wasn't it? And they made a movie about
they did. It was a Netflix special.
And it was unbelievable. And if you haven't seen it, cop the opening scene.
Yes. Don't have any kids in the lounge room
don't
while you're watching it.
Don't have any kids in the lounge room. You have some hard questions to answer.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone went harder than that band. That's a real page turner. And that's one I've said red poolside with Anthony Kiedis, who's now what was his score?
Anthony Kiedis, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Was that scar tissue, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I remember seeing a guy across a pool for me lying on one of those day beds reading it, just going, whoa.
Is that right?
It's turning pages going, oh, no way.
Yeah, man.
So that'll be rock and roll. Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Craig's on the line. Craig, what was the biography?
Pumper by Jim Cassidy.
Right. Pumper. What a name for a biography, Pumper, and for a jockey. Did he come across as all those jockeys to me as, criminals is a bit harsh.
Bit flighty.
Well, but they're not to be trusted. They're not to be trusted.
Good. From where he was at jockeys. To where he got to.
Yeah. Well, he rode some great Melbourne Cup winners, some great big races. He rode for some of the biggest punters, owners in Australia. Packer? He rode for Packer?
He may have.
Well, Craig, you read the book, mate.
Well, I'm just looking at the front cover that says to Craig Ring-a-ding-a-ding Jim Cassidy, that's all.
I got a signed copy.
So you're just looking at the copy. Who's listening to the front page? Where are you? On the tour?
No, mate, I'm actually out the back listening to the radio.
Ah, good on you, mate. Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds like a page turner for me. I would get onto that.
Yeah.
That was from the day. He rode in the days when, you know, the call of the card. You'd have these Lloyd Williams and Packers throwing $1 million down on a race. And these guys, the pressure.
Oh, yeah. But you put money on Jim Cassidy. You saw Jim Cassidy on the floor.
And as someone who's played a trainer in a film.
What was it called again?
Rides Like a Girl. Right. You like have to feel like you know
it. I see. Yeah, right. Get into character.
My biography will be coming out soon. We'll talk about that in a minute. Righto. Ian, what was the biography that you read, mate?
Just recently, Mickey, it was Steve McQueen's autobiography.
You mean Steve McQueen, movie star Steve McQueen?
That's the boy,
Duke him, Dave.
A case of Brick Lane.
Case
draft.
Of Brick Lane coming your way. This guy was a pants. It should be called Pants Man.
Right.
Pants Man by Steve McQueen, because he was one of those blokes. It didn't matter. He could walk into the room and just go, you, and you. Thank you.
Right.
He was a movie star. He raced cars.
Good-looking guy.
He jumped motorbikes. He was just an amazing man off the street.
I think he won Le Mans, didn't he? Steve McQueen may have won Le Mans.
He competed. I know that for sure.
He was the cooler king. He was the cooler king in The Great Escape.
Great Escape, And he just, what he did outside of the movie genre they had to tone him down because the way he raced cars.
Did some of his finest work in the boudoir.
Right.
He had to wear a helmet in there too, I believe, as well as behind the wheel. Well done, Ian. Chris is on the line. Chris, what's the biography you're reading?
Archie Roach, Tell Me Why.
Oh, good.
Okay, now that sounds like the pick of the bunch. So I'm a huge fan of Archie Roach, and I hope the big fella's holding up. Mm. What? Tell Me
it's
Why.
It's a hard read.
Yeah,
It's
a hard read.
Very hard read.
It's a very big story, though, isn't it?
It's a brilliant story.
What tipped you into that? Mm. What piqued your interest about the life and times of Archie Roach?
Oh, I've worked with the Indigenous before.
Yep. And Paul Kelly, our musical guest today, has spent a fair bit of time with Archie Roach.
Well, he actually didn't even know what Paul Kelly looked like.
No way.
Initially, but he would now.
But he never knew who this funny little bloke was.
Well, mate, I think you piqued our interest. It sounds like an important read, even better than just a page turner. Duke him, Dave.
Case of Brick Lane, the draft for you, Chris in Newcastle. Good on you,
Paul,
buddy.
Come on, Paul. What are you reading, mate? What's the biography?
I'll be reading Archie Roach's story, but I'm currently reading Bob Catter's second book.
Second?
Okay, I'm guessing there's a ghostwriter there's a ghostwriter on tap here. But we've gone from Archie Roach to Bob Catter. We've covered everything on today's program. Bob Catter's second book. What? He couldn't fit it all into one? All that madness?
I think I must have the first edition of his second book because it's riddled with errors, a bit like his speeches. But look, I don't mind Bob, but I have got a penchant for reading, what you like that word? Penchant. Reading biographies of political idiots. And it started with Pauline Hanson. I got it for $2. And of course, you keep the price tag on it, hoping that one day you'll get them to autograph it, and then you'll show them the front.
There you go.
All right, good work.
Nice, Paul. Paul,
hey, you know what's got me thinking? I think I might release a biography.
You know what? I would buy it. I would read it. I would buy a copy of Mick.
Would you?
Yeah. Is it an autobiography? So you're going to write it yourself?
I'll read it.
Righto. What are you going to call it? What's the working title for this?
My Enormous Penis by Mick Molloy.
Yeah, I don't think that's quite appropriate to...
May I Approach the Bench?
Not bad.
Yeah, well, I have no mother.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, 1-3-5-3, what? Do you? You can name the title of my order.
So you're going to write a book.
I'm going to write the book about
my life. We need to come
life.
Up with a title.
Anyone out there want to come up with a name?
Oh, come on.
Come on, 1-3-5-3.
What about just Mickey? Not bad. All right, 1-3-3-5-3.
Maybe.
Name Mick's book. Give us a ring right now.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
It's the Molloy Book Club edition of Molloy.
Well, that's right.
Looks like Mick might be about to pen a new book.
Well, we're talking about biographies, and then we thought, well, I should write one.
I think you should.
Get in a bit of the action. And what would we call it? My autobiography.
What's sort of in the book, though? Like, what sort of things you're going to touch on?
It's a real page turner.
Is it?
It's
like
a real...
early years and Mount Eliza, Best and Fairest. And,
Dick pics.
Okay. That's on. Seal section.
Probably on the cover.
Really?
Yeah, probably on the cover.
Okay.
It'll be hardback, hard copy.
Oh. Stop it. There's a real theme with today.
Maybe a little scratch and smell. Lift out. A sealed section.
You want to sell books, though, remember. You got to sell books. You don't want that sort of stuff.
These things will fly off the shelves like hotcakes.
We could produce our own Molloy.
Remember, Chopper Reed's books are the most shoplifted books in Australian publishing history. And if you go into most bookstores, they're behind the counter, so you can't get to
thump them. Yeah,
so
right.
You can't.
Interesting.
I reckon I'd like to take that.
Yeah, that'd be your thing.
That mantle. I go to a book signing.
Would you?
My heart wouldn't be in it. I'd probably get a, probably get a stamp. Just stamp.
Would I be in it?
And you know where I'd have the book launch? In the toot.
My marketing would be,
no toilet is complete without this.
Yeah, yeah.
By the side. If you go to number, should be in pole position.
Well,
in any,
you just got to find a name for it, mate.
So the library, go to the public toilet, have a read,
and
I'll get John Laws to do the talking. Hello, world. You put this out earlier, did you not? To James, what did you ask? What was the question?
What would your autobiography be called on Twitter?
And what's come back?
Lots of responses. Friend of the show, Adam Rosenbach's Not Guilty, Your Honour.
That's pretty good.
It's a catchphrase.
Yeah. Danielle suggests, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, that's not bad.
That's a good one. Cameron Bennett says, get with the program, toots. Which I don't mind. Claire Daly says, look inside the man, a Shetland pony.
That's good, Claire.
And James Matt says, it's your shout, mate.
Oh, well, that's... don't worry
disparaging.
About that.
Good.
They're all good titles. All right, they're good. You've got anything you want to throw in? No?
No, I'm happy with my Mickey.
Okay. Oh, that's
okay.
A good one.
Yeah. What about Blow It Out Your Ass by Mick Molloy?
Not bad.
I've got a really bad feeling about this. Did we do that?
No, that hasn't come through. Yeah,
that's good. Good.
Tell it to someone who cares. You're all dead to me.
We hear that all the time. Yeah.
Am I right, fellas? By Mick Molloy.
That's good.
What you say every time you've offended all the women in the room and you're trying to gussy support.
Get him on side.
Look around. Am I right, fellas?
Am I right, fellas? By Mick Molloy. Tails. Hey, Blair's on the line. Blair, what would you call my autobiography, please?
It's got to be Crackerjack, Mickey, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Crackerjack.
And it's got to be a picture of you dressed as a female bowler in a toilet.
Okay, get off, Blair. You've taken it too far.
No, a case of Brick Lane Draft.
It's all fun, it's all fun to begin with.
No, I like that.
Now I'm... what am I? Jesus, I don't know about that.
That's not bad.
The rise and
you
rise.
Can do it, Mick.
The rise and rise of Mick Molloy. Like Kerry Packers.
Yeah.
How could work? Thanks, Blair. Richard's on the line. Richard, what would you call my biography?
My Life in the Gutter by Mick Molloy.
Okay, Richard. Good on you, mate.
Oh, that's good. That's
my life in the gutter, because, you know, pardon me, Your Majesty, because you live such a royal aristocratic existence, no doubt.
Tickets to Jim Jefferies for you, by the way, Richard. Jim Jefferies coming June, July.
I bet you've been in the gutter on a Saturday morning.
If it's authentic. do you want to ghostwrite it for me? You seem to know, know where all the bodies are buried. All right, Richard, thanks. Tony's on the line. Tony, what would you call my biography?
Tales from the Dutch Oven. there's a reason behind it too, mate. You could get it in autobiographies, you could get it in comedy, and you'd also be able to sneak it into the cooking section of most shops.
That's Tony. Duke him, Dave.
You got Jim Jefferies tickets as well, Tony. Enjoy
Thank
that,
you,
mate.
Friend.
Well done.
That'd be good. Be good. Duke him, Dave. Duke and Dave by McMillan.
So do I get a like a part in the book? Is there like a
There's
dangerous...
no pictures of you in the book.
But what
a
about
big picture of me on the cover and no pictures of you. Everyone else at the station. Everyone else at the station.
And you know, everyone else, yeah.
Not no, you. Not Brett's on the line. Brett, what would you call it, mate? The biography?
I would be calling it Malloy, The Cold Hard Facts. It doesn't give too much away, but whenever somebody sits down and say, you know, I'm going to give you a couple of cold hard facts, your ears prick up and listen.
Oh, yeah. Cold hard facts like he goes off like a firecracker in the sack. Bang. Cold hard fact.
Yeah. All right. What is it girls want to do and men want to be like? What's the one you say?
Guys want to be him, girls want to do him.
Yeah, cold hard facts.
Guys want to be me, girls want to do me.
Cold hard facts.
Cold hard facts. Okay, I'm getting my producer. I reckon we may have waded into dangerous territory here. Dylan.
Come on, Dil.
Dylan, what would you call it, mate? What would you call the biography?
So I had two. One would be If It Pleases the Court.
Yes.
And the other one, A Man for All Networks, because you've been on all of them.
Because I've been sacked by all of them. Duke him, Dave. Sacked,
yeah. You've also got Jim Jeffries tickets coming to Australia this June, July.
So well done, all. We'll take a couple more if you've got them. Yeah, come on. I'll tell you whose biography I might read.
What's that?
Brick Man's. Oh. We'll get to that next.
All right, coming up.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
So I suppose all you need now is a publisher to get this book happening. Is that what's the next step? I mean, you got the title for the book?
Mate, let's just get a title first.
Oh, all right.
What do you do, pushing the pace?
No, I just think I can sort of help you along with it and promote it, get it out there for you.
First, I need a grant.
What do you need a grant for?
I need an advance.
For what? For writing it yourself?
For writing it.
Well, you've got plenty of time.
Do you know, Dennis Hopper, famously, his biography, they gave him an advance to write his biography and then waited years and got nothing back. And finally, one of the publishers said, go and find him. Where is he?
Right.
And they go track Dennis down. Dennis, we're giving millions of dollars. Yeah. Mate, we've got nothing. What's the problem? Yeah. He goes, the problem is I can't remember the 70s.
Oh, wow. The whole decade missing.
The whole decade.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I said, just put the white pages in. Just put blank pages in.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
People will get the idea.
They will, yeah.
So I have to really think about this because it's an important story to tell.
Mm.
Mickey's story.
There's some sort of tearjerker.
Some highs and lows.
Yeah.
Lots of fun times.
Is there?
A couple of sad times.
Is there?
Yeah. Yeah, you won't be in a lot.
Any?
If you go straight to the bibliography, it'll just say Dangerous Dave, page 1300. One reference. Phil's on the line. Phil, what should the title of my biography be called?
Can I have a kidney, please?
Oh, Jesus. Phil, don't duke him.
No, case of big lane draft coming your way, Phil. That's pretty good.
Can I have a kidney by Mick Malloy? Yeah. All right, Phil, that's a page turner. James is on the line. What would you call it, mate?
Hey, Mickey, Dave, I reckon it should be That's My Karaoke Song.
What about we'll take your calls, take your tweets? Not bad.
By Mick Malloy.
Yeah.
Is that how you see me, Dave?
Or... you lost a cast member.
Jeez. Oh, okay, yellow card, Dave. I didn't want to do it today.
Okay, all
but
right.
That's a yellow card.
Bad,
smack, bang, big, fat yellow card. You're on notice.
All right.
I'll read you today.
Happy to take
I'm in the mood to read you.
All right,
Hayden's on the line. What would you call my autobiography, Hayden?
I thought seeing as your fame stems from your career as an underwear model, your autobiography should just be called Tidy Whitey.
Or not so tidy whities.
Yeah.
I don't laugh at that, Aiden. Yeah. All right, I don't mind it. Tidy whities. Ron's on the line. Ron, what would you call my biography, mate?
Tales from the Couch, or what about 43 Steps?
Very good. 43 Steps, because I famously took 43 steps in one day. You know, I could spend the whole book describing that. Those 43 steps.
That's right.
Every chapter. Step number one. Step number two.
Two.
Because it was a harrowing journey.
I still can't believe that. 43 steps. That's barely getting off the couch.
That's like climbing Everest.
Did you go to the toot or anything? Is that 43 steps involved eating food? And
It was off the couch to the bathroom.
Right.
To the fridge. To the couch.
Then back. In one day. That's all you
did. In one a day, muchacho.
Unbelievable.
You'll find that in the adventure section. John's on the line. John, what would you call it, buddy?
Well, I saw you at the Big Freeze a couple of years ago, and there's a lot there, and I reckon it's Dinner on Girls.
I know. Hello, Girls, Dinner's on.
Hello, Girls, Dinner's on.
Hello, girls. Bad. Dinner's on.
Yeah.
By Mick Molloy.
Yeah.
Bang. I'm going into print, hardback only.
Really?
Yes. And I'll do readings.
This is Molloy.
There is momentum building for the Mick Molloy book. I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of suggestions coming through for the title of it. You can get involved.
Yeah, a lot of them we can't say on radio.
A lot of very fruity.
Salt Whisperer joins us. Beam him in.
Yeah, here he is.
Beam him in with his music. Oh, Dave. Right. Oh, God.
We had a conversation.
We can do it once we've formally introduced him. Before we get to the song, you've had a couple of suggestions come across your desk.
I've got a few
this
here.
This is for my autobiography.
So Mick Molloy, My Life in Tracky Dacks.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody Cares.
Nobody Cares by Mick Molloy. That'd be right.
Mm.
Chapter on My Mum.
The first biography with a sealed section.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
That's right.
Wake Up Calls and Dump Buttons, My Life in Radio.
Jeez, you almost had almost, to dump that.
Almost at the
yeah, how about that?
Ironically.
A financial memoir, Cash from the Checkout, and other and other no money hacks.
Did that. No idea they did that.
Joe McLaughlin got us on Instagram. I had a crack.
I had a crack?
I had a crack.
Why not?
Won't Die Wondering by Mick Molloy.
Yes.
Here's the final one. Sam Pang Owes Me Everything.
Oh, that'd be right. It'd be five volumes of that.
Mm.
Through his sketchy career.
Is there a chapter on Glenn Robbins in there? Should be.
I'd be very small.
Would it?
Like if you went to the bibliography section and went Glenn, there'd be maybe one on page 7.
Who would?
One on page 213, but a really small reference. Like a by-the-by.
Who would write the blurb?
Probably be about Uncle Arthur or something.
Okay.
Who would you have like comments on the cover from?
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Quotes.
Ivan Milat.
Jesus. All right.
You guys go
I wish
back.
I was alive to read this. I don't know. I'm making it up.
No. It's a
lot from the girls.
Right. Yeah.
A lot from the ladies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It might be a page turner for the girls. It'd be like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Put it on your bedside table and kick back and relax.
No,
I'll do the talking book version. I'll get the juices flowing.
Right.
Hey, what are you? What's the
another title that I just thought of was And Then I Did a Runner.
Bad.
And other stories.
All right. What do you got for us, Sorry.
This is the synopsis. This guy has something, and he wants to pass it on to the members of your family. He wants you to move your body and stay hydrated.
Yes.
He asks for no fee, but he does ask that you ingest this thing in some way. So it may become part of your very being.
Is it like a potion?
Being.
Is it a potion?
Could be a potion.
Is he like Asterix? He's like Popeye. Is it a can of spaghetti? Is it a can of spinach?
Well, it could be.
What's
some
he doing?
Sort
is it legal?
Of...
Is it a drug?
Could be. Could be.
Okay, now I'm onto it.
Mm.
So it's all a bit hallucinogenic.
Possibly
is it?
As well.
Well, you
possibly
know more than you're giving well. Away. Yeah. So, but yeah. Give me something solid. Do you have any on you? Mike,
right.
You have a go.
Oh, well, you said you want you to move your body.
He does.
All I could think of was...
Hey, Buster Move.
A bit of Young MC. Buster Move. Mick. What?
You're so literal sometimes, aren't you?
Well, I'm hopeless at this. I've never got one song whisperer ever. So this is not my bag in terms of
DJ
me figuring it out.
DJ of the century. What were you?
You make that story up. I don't even think that's a thing. Anyway.
It is not Young MC. Sorry, Dave.
Right.
Well... 1-3-3-5-3, let's go!
This is Molloy. Time to gather back around your wireless, people. Here comes the big second hour of Molloy.
It's going to be a cracker, boys. Let me tell you, how's this for a lineup? The great Glenn Robbins.
Awesome.
Just moments away. Paul Kelly in for a chat and to sing.
Whoa.
Live.
That's huge.
I mean, come on.
He is one of
what
Australia's best.
What do you want?
I'm in.
The DJ of the century, Dave.
Me?
Well, you keep calling yourself
I've
that.
Never called myself the DJ. Mate. You make this rubbish up.
You wear a T-shirt that says DJ of the century. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much to get through. Time for the song Whisperer. Before we go to the synopsis, welcome aboard, Glenn Robbins.
Do I get to play this game?
You get to play because I love your taste in music.
Yeah.
What would you have at home on the turntable, right?
Now? I'm a classical guy.
Are you?
Classical guy?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Tubular Bells.
Bit of Mozart.
Oh.
Mozart. I don't believe you. If we're going on a road trip and you get to choose
a bit of meditative music just to chill out, and I'd talk you down, put you to sleep.
What, whale sounds?
Yeah, a bit of whale music. Yep. Yeah,
what,
yeah.
Like massage music? Like
yeah,
this kind
yeah.
of pan pipes?
Yeah, absolutely. And then my hand would slowly creep across.
We've shared a room on a golf trip.
Yeah.
I think you need to respect our boundaries.
You didn't.
You're okay. Sitting in. You know how it works. We all get to have a guess. Go, Song Whisperer. Synopsis, please.
This guy has something. He wants to pass it on to the members of your family. He wants you to move your body and stay hydrated. He asks for no fee. He does ask that you ingest this thing in some way so it may become part of your very being.
Jeez. Any ideas?
Glenn?
Is this a setup?
No.
That's a real deal.
No,
I'm writing down something on a piece of paper now. Mm. I don't know how quickly you can bring it up. Is it this?
I've been around this white brown land. I've seen a thing
what is wrong with you?
If you go to the great unheard second verse of Russell Court theme song, he goes on to say all those things that Jada said.
It's true. Would you ever put that on in the boudoir? Would you go, hi, come home, I'll just put something on.
I am known. Hello, sweetheart.
Sadly, it's not true.
It's not.
Oh, what a great guess, though.
I'm ashamed. Sorry, let's go to the callers. Sam's on the line. Sam, what do you think it is?
Hey, Mick, what about the Cup of Life, Ricky Martin?
This is my karaoke song. What'd you give this?
It's got to be a metaphor.
the Cup of Life, that's it. What do you give it, like a chalice?
Yeah.
You ingest it.
Yeah.
You have a go.
Stay
has he
hydrated.
Got it?
No, he doesn't. So. Sorry.
Name for the book.
No.
Me, Myself, Malloy.
What is it?
Me, Myself, Malloy.
Me, Myself, Malloy. Good. Oh, I like it.
That's good.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Do keep
Jim Jeffries tickets for you, Sam. Congratulations,
Sam,
mate. Yeah, it's coming.
It's one of the best live shows I've ever seen. Robert's on the line. Robert, what are you thinking?
I Give It Away by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Wow. Okay, this is right in the breadbasket.
Right in the
wheelhouse. This is right on board. Yeah. Give us some of the lyrics.
What I've got, you got to give it to your mama. What I've got, you got to give it to your papa. What I've got, you got to give it to your daughter. Mm. He wants to give it to all the members of your family for nothing. Correct.
That's it. You got it.
You're sure it's not Russell Crowe?
Yeah,
I just feel that there's a...
Got to give it to your mama. Give it to your papa. Pass it around to you.
Right.
That's the version I want
to
hear.
You get the idea, people. Robert, we'll be back. Glenn Robbins on deck.
Robert, you got $200 to go spend at the Neverland store, neverlandstore.com.au. Well done. This is Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Paul Kelly to play live in just a few minutes, but our very special guest is Glenn Robbins.
Live
right now.
In studio.
I've been listening on the way in.
Oh, yes?
Biographies.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, tell you what, we'll get to biography in just 1 second. Before we get there, I know it's on your mind, but I've just got a little bit of housekeeping to do with you.
Okay.
You, of course, are one half of Somehow Related, which
Dave O'Neill.
You do with Dave O'Neill, a great podcast. And Whitney, one of our producers here, spends more time listening to that than
she's
your
biggest fan.
Does listening to this show.
Slightly obsessed
is a good way to put it. And you alerted me to... I'm not happy about this. This is a slight.
You better set it up. I think I know what you're talking about.
So Whitney, what did you hear on the podcast?
I was listening to one of the newest podcasts on the way in. And the subjects were poetry and the Sistine Chapel. Mm-hmm.
And how are they related?
And how are they related?
Sure, okay.
Right? There turns out there's a poem and they wanted somebody to read it out. They didn't think they could do it.
All right.
So it turns out they started going through their phones and it started to be a competition who's got the biggest person in their phone.
Yeah.
And they listed all these people. There was Carl Barron. There was Adam Rosenbach. There was, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Sean McAuliffe. And then Mick. And then.
They get to the M's.
Dave goes, oh, I've got Richard Malloy, which is Mick Malloy's brother. And then Glenn goes, oh, yeah, Mick will be good. But let's just call Sean.
So you got to the M's and you went through Malloy and you got and you went with McAuliffe. And McAuliffe read out the poem.
Yeah. I think McAuliffe, in a game of cards, McAuliffe trumps a Malloy in the M's.
For poetry reading? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Limericks? No. Poetry reading, yes.
All right, what about this? Here we go.
Yeah. All right.
The night was dark and stormy. Yeah. The twilight light was dim.
That's actually very good.
All right, give me that. Why would you go overlook me for... How Michelangelo's poem. I don't have time for this now.
Yeah, it's quite.
And when I do my poetry readings, I usually have a smoking jacket and a cravat on.
Do you?
Yes, and I smoke a cigar with a monocle.
Because
that's how I do my poetry readings.
And next time you do that and I'm there, wear underpants. Because
It wasn't.
It wasn't good.
But I still go back to our Kath and Kim scene where we had to wear the kimonos.
Yeah.
Half an hour we spent trying to lace those up. Biography. So you'd be a big biography reader because I know
I can trumpet everyone.
Yeah, sure.
Went to the tennis. Invited. Sorry. Yes.
Yep,
had dinner before the show.
Yeah.
Before the big game. They go, come on in. You're sitting on that table over there with that gentleman there. It's George Lazenby.
Oh, James Bond.
007.
As I walk towards him, I think to myself, what are we going to talk about? How long before we can actually say, so how did you become James Bond?
Yeah, what's the appropriate amount of time?
I reckon it was 2 minutes. He then told me the entire story of how he became James. His entire life.
God.
He tells his entire life at the table.
Jeez.
Absolutely fantastic. And
was he a good bloke?
Great bloke. And that story went in to be made into a great film called Becoming Bond, starring Josh Lawson. And if you can get it, it is so good. You see George Lazenby actually tell the story, and then they cut to the scenes played by Josh Lawson. Fantastic.
But we weren't doing who have you had dinner with. We said, whose biography have you read? There's a slight difference.
You know what? There were some good ones, but I just thought I'd bring a bit of sizzle. That's what
you're off topic.
The show needs. It needs a bit of sizzle.
Bit of showbiz.
What about the time I was reading Billy Connolly's biography on Hamilton Island? It's true. I was reading his biography, and he was two towels up on the beach.
Wow. That's huge.
Okay. He would have been completely freaked out by that. He'd be gone.
We became good friends.
That's like stalking.
Yeah,
he's gone halfway around the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And right, he goes, I'll just lie down here on the beach. And then there's a strange guy in his Speedos with a copy of his.
Stalker.
Sorry. And your biography, I would call it I've Got a Bad Feeling About This. Now, some listeners may not know why. Well, you know why. Because, Dave, does he do this to you?
All the time.
So you say, oh, I'm catching a flight to Sydney in about half an hour. I've got a really bad feeling about that flight.
Yeah.
I'm driving home late tonight. I've got a really bad feeling about you driving home tonight.
Yeah. Trying to give you the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
And every time. It works every time. I go, whoa. Great title.
Did I tell you the only time that ever went wrong for me was hosting a sports show and we had Casey Stoner on, who's about the next day to ride at Phillip Island.
Yes. Yeah.
And anyway, and his mum came and dropped him off. We had no studio, so she was just sitting there between the cameramen, and I'm introducing Casey Stoner, who's about to go bonkers around the thing. And I say as a joke, like I always do, and I go, I'll just be careful. Anyway, well, thanks, Aaron. Good luck tomorrow. And by the way, just be careful out there. I've got a really bad feeling about this. Now, the joke only works if someone's life is not in danger.
Yeah. Yep.
But when they are actually in danger, and I turned around and his mum's bottom lip was quivering and the waterworks were on.
Yeah.
Like I had just reminded her that
the most dangerous profession in the world.
Her boy could die.
As it was coming out your mouth, you went, this is wrong.
I watched that race going, please.
Beep, beep. How do we get this into reverse?
We're going to come back and talk to you about something that I got
emotional.
I heard you were quite upset during the week. Here we go.
Don't go anywhere.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy on Triple M.
Paul Kelly in just a moment. Glenn Robbins in studio right now on Malloy.
And you were emotional during the week, Glenn. What happened to you? Can you tell me?
Well,
I heard around the grapevine that you were upset.
We're at IKEA.
Yep.
Happily shopping, you know, as you do. Following the lines in the right direction, going through the right department. Yeah, yeah. No cutting off, going between, none of that. But, you know. And then I hear a voice. Hi, Glenn. And then I turn around. It's that thing where you go, don't know who you are, can't place you.
Yeah.
Going through the files. And she said, I used to be the nurse at your old vet.
Okay.
And I used to nurse your cat. Torty. Tortoiseshell, Burmese tortoiseshell.
Okay, gotcha.
And she said, I've been there for a while. How's Torty? And I said, we had to have her put down.
Oh, sorry.
So she didn't know that?
She didn't know that because she had left.
Wow. She's waited in, though. She would have known it was old and probably.
My bottom lip went because Torty
went. So tell me how long? How long
19
was it?
19 years. She said, oh, nice. She said to me that it's true. She loved Torty so much that when she left, her aim was to go and find a cat just like Torty. And she found one, and she's still got him to this day. And that threw me.
Yeah, because
Torty, 19 years, We'd look out the window together and she'd kiss me on the face. Oh, you can hear my, you can hear me quivering a bit now.
Hey.
I had to have her sit down on the couch. Lucky there was a couch by.
Do you know what you should do? Go and steal her cat.
Well.
It's just like Tordy.
Yeah.
Are you upset? You were genuinely upset.
Yeah, I went into the bathroom section and pretended to put a bit of water on the face. There was no running water. Yeah. Then I went and had some of those balls, those IKEA.
Oh, Swedish meatballs.
Oh, Swedish meatballs. Yeah, so yeah. That everything was okay. Yeah. We did that. Okay. So I'm interested. I brought some things.
What are you thinking?
That I thought, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of a tear.
So what did you do? Did you go and write lists? What did you do? Did you duke it out? Did you become emotional?
Mm.
What do you do when you're emotional?
What do you do?
What makes you emotional?
What tears you up? Is it a scene from a film? Is it a bit of music?
What is it for you? What gets you?
I was judging a talent quest at a school, and a boy came out, and I won't say what was wrong with him, but he had some physical issues.
Right.
And he managed to get himself to the microphone,
and
I'm serious, and then he sang the Michael Jackson song.
This one.
I'll be there for you. I'll be there. I sang I'll be there. And I'm telling you, I was gone. He went on to win the event. And then we got him back up. I think his name was Shane. I said, and then you're the winner. And then we hit the music again. And the whole school was singing I'll be there with him standing up there punching the air. I'm getting goosebumps now.
It's about a rat, isn't it?
Is it?
A song about a rat.
Was it? I thought it was the. No, it's Ben. That was the.
Oh, that's
bear,
Ben.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Ben the two.
So I've Googled a couple of things.
What do you got?
And so he's a little kitty and he wasn't travelling well.
No, he wasn't travelling well. And he said, I will be there for you.
Yeah. And
not for me.
He broke open the Michael Jackson and you've gone up.
I've gone.
Have you gone the blob?
Yeah, I had to pretend to get something. I've gone down. Get something out of my bag, have a bit of a wipe of the eyes and go, this is a beautiful moment.
I have an emotional reaction to music.
Do you?
Sometimes. This always gets me. Sorry,
you know, he tells a story. He shares wisdom. Yeah, he's a loving guy.
I'm making it up. I'm sorry for not taking it serious.
No. Okay, I picked a couple online.
There you go.
Okay, now, apparently, this gets people a bit teary.
Oh, bagpipes! Amazing Grace.
Bagpipes.
Is it an ad for?
But that's not teary. That's you get the tissues out and you stuff them in your ear.
That's not doing it for me.
Okay.
That's not doing it for you. A Mull of Kintyre, if you would be the closest.
Wings, yeah.
Or Meat Free Monday.
Dave, you got one?
There's one that always, for me, is a Nine Inch Nails did the original, but Johnny Cash, when he was on his last, he recorded a song called Hurt. And you could I'm telling you right now, Glenn, I can't get all through the song without grabbing the Kleenex.
Look at him.
Very emotional.
Go, man. Look at
what a song.
Oh, mate.
Have you watched the History of Country and Mr. Music on SBS?
I have not.
Oh, you should watch that.
Right.
Can I have another go?
Yeah.
When it really hits me.
Yeah.
When it moves me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's usually something like this.
See? All I'll say is I bring opportunity. I bring you an opportunity for you to show some vulnerability to show that maybe you have a heart, but you don't surprise me that you don't. You're a black-hearted
show
man.
Show me another one.
Okay. Here's a tissue. Take a tissue.
So
you take a tissue. Okay. I want you to close your eyes. Okay,
yeah.
Sunday night.
Yeah, yeah.
You're back. You're on the couch. Mm. Your feet are up.
Yeah. Right.
You're with your favorite boy or girl.
Yeah,
you got your arms around each other, and you hear this line.
And don't forget. I'm also just a girl. Standing in front of a boy. Asking him to love her.
That's a yellow card for you. That's a yellow card. Can I have one more song quickly? Just quickly.
Come on,
here it is. One more song. Listen to this. You're not taking it seriously. We've got to go, Glenn.
Good work, guys.
Thank you, mate.
We've got to go because joining us right now on the other side of the glass, he's got a brand new tour happening on the road again. Let's give it up, ladies and gentlemen. It's Paul Kelly.
How many cabs in New York City? How many angels on a pin? How many notes in a saxophone? How many tears in a bottle of gin? How many times did you call my name? Knock at the door, but you couldn't get in. I know I've been careless. I've been wrapped up in a shell. Nothing could get through to me. Acted like I didn't know I had friends and family. I saw worry in their eyes, but it didn't look like fear to me. I know I've been careless. I lost my tenderness. I've been careless. I took bad care of this. Like a mixture in a bottle, like a frozen over lake, like a long time painted smile. I got so hot, I had to crack. You were there, you held the line. You're the one that brought me back. I know I've been careless. I lost my tenderness. I've been careless. I took back care of this. How many cabs in New York City? How many angels on the head of a pin? How many notes in a saxophone? How many tears in a bottle of gin? How many times did you call my name? Knock at the door, you couldn't get in. How many stars in the Milky Way? How many ways can you lose a friend? Oh, I've been careless.
Brighten up your day, won't
Bloody
it?
Hell. Paul Kelly is on the road again. He's just the best.
Let's
and
get him on in.
Is the great
what a rare
thing.
Skill. Imagine just being able to brighten up a room full of people.
We've got
imagine
the whole
being the
staff
highlight
in here.
Of people's day.
What a gig.
Just by doing that.
Yeah, and great songwriter, so many great albums. We'll talk about the new album soon, but there is a show coming to a lot of parts of Australia. Toowoomba, Rockhampton, Mackay, Cairns,
he's
Hobart, Bendigo,
road.
Bathurst. Coffs Harbour, Gold Coast, Newcastle, frontiertouring.com for more information. Joining us in studio right now after that amazing performance of Careless, it's Paul Kelly on Molloy. Welcome, Paul.
Welcome
how are
back
you?
To the show, Paul.
Yeah.
It's great to have you
good
on.
To see you.
Good to be
the
back.
Answer to the question, how many tears in a bottle of gin is 2,033 on a good day?
Yeah, and someone's also sent in the number of cabs in New York City to a while back, but... I so can't remember. I think it was a few more.
Yeah, yeah. So your songs you. Are being fact-checked now, are they?
Yes.
Thank you for swinging by. Now, there was a slight delay because you lost your pick.
Yeah.
I would have thought there's a little checklist.
Yeah.
Guitar, harmonica, pick. And you're away.
Yeah. Well, I have my pick in my pocket. I have my pick in my pocket.
That's or two. Like a, like pick album.
And then it got lost in a fold.
Oh, it did.
Right.
But yeah. The good news was we found it. Tell us a bit about that song, Careless. Where, what were the circumstances? How did that come to you?
It's a good song.
Oh, that was written in the 80s when I was listening to a lot of the Go-Betweens at the time.
Okay.
So, they had a song called Apologies Accepted and used those chords. So I sort of... nicked them.
Nice. Well, there's a bombshell.
They're one of your favourite bands, the Go-Betweens, too. I like that.
Oh,
they're
one of your favourite
bands. From Brisbane, Go-Betweens. Such a distinctive sound.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Herb and Tamoy.
I mean, you know, those chords, and they got them from somewhere else.
Yeah, that's they're not right. The I most... mean, it's common usage.
Yeah,
there's
common
only
usage.
So many chords to go around.
That's fair usage, fair play.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're looking forward to the tour. Is it like, I mean, this is what you're trained to do, you know, as a musician, isn't it? It'd be a laboratory built almost to get on the road and go to as many people as possible live.
Yeah, we got sort of frustrated quite a lot last year. We had tours, you know, we kept postponing them, as you know, and then we had to sort of eventually just write the year off.
Yeah. Were you pacing around the room? Were you like a caged
what were you doing?
Artist?
You know what I missed the most was actually not some, I mean, playing to audiences is one thing, but just getting in a room with my friends, because all the band of friends, getting in a room and playing music with my friends. We couldn't even do that in Melbourne, as you know. We couldn't.
Oh, yeah, can't get together with other families.
We couldn't get 5K out of the house. So I couldn't even get in a room and rehearse or record.
Is that something you do, though, Paul? Like, you know, in your downtime, you get with your buddies and you get together and you just
play? Yeah, we get together and rehearse from time to time. Yeah. And we kick around new songs or we jam or we had some recording scheduled for last year. We're just sort of put it all aside. But
we're going on tour. Have you had your jabs? Please tell me you're a national treasure before you get out there.
Yeah,
maybe get a roadie to run out and do it mid concert, like jab you during between songs.
Book. For next week.
Good.
Yeah,
and what's a tour? How do you do it these days? Are you still on a tour bus, or do you break it up, or a private jet? I see you on a private jet jetting in.
What's a tour?
Is it one long trip, or do you kind of cherry pick your and break it up?
We'll be out from home. It's a 7-week tour, but we'll come home in the middle for a bit. So we're not away from home for more than 3 or 4 weeks. And it's pretty much like we always did when we're doing sort of road tours. You know, it's like a couple of the crew's got a Tarago. There's a truck with the gear, and we've got and the band's got a Tarago.
Tarago was made specifically for touring bands.
What are they called now? Kia Carnival. Yeah.
No.
So, is this your first tour with Frontier in a post-Gedinski world? Mm. Is this uncharted territory?
It is, yeah. We've been working on tours together for the last few years, so everyone's feeling it.
So I was trying to quantify. Someone asked me the other day, you know, what he meant to you. It's always hard to crystallize into words or whatever. But the closest I came to was when he walked into a room, my tail would wag. I would go, oh, here we go. Something's about to happen.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Chuck a ball. Yeah. I just got a little excited whenever I saw him. There was some action coming down the pipe.
He had the energy and that ebullience, and, you know, just even if you didn't understand what he was saying, it was nervous.
There was different strains. It's great to have you back. Great to have you back on the road. And
a lot of regional centres as well, which we all broadcast to right now.
Let us know. Go on,
Toowoomba. You got Rockhampton as well, which would be great this time of the year. And Mackay, Cairns.
Wow. North Queensland.
Go north.
Then you're coming back to Hobart
as well. Like Apocalypse Now. We'll have to go and find you like Kurtz.
Packing the bathers.
There you go.
You do an encore in your speedos in North Queensland.
Imagine.
I'll come.
Hobart, then Bendigo, Bathurst, Coffs Harbour, back up north, Gold Coast, Newcastle as well. So frontiertouring.com for all those tickets. Vicar and Linda as well.
They'll be in the band. And amazing. They usually do it, you know, as part of the set, they'll do a song each.
You'd be an idiot to miss this. You really would. It's so great to have you back and doing your thing. I'm just watching people's faces, even people here in the office are coming out to watch you play. You must get rewarded by that. People what really do enjoy what you do. Tell me what it's like. It'd be nice to know. I get nothing for this. Everyone see me after the show. Paul, thanks for swinging
so
by.
Good.
It's
thanks,
always
Paul.
A pleasure, mate.
Thank you, guys.
Paul
thanks,
Kelly.
Mate. For the drive home, this is Malloy.
This is Malloy, and it's thanks to Specsavers too. $150 off their quality range of multifocal lenses.
What do you want?
Limited time. Conditions apply. 300 stores nationally. Yes. They've got a quality range of multifocal lenses to suit any
I love any the multifocals.
Me too.
300 stores. Yeah, I want to do all in one day, like a big pub crawl.
Like
a big specky crawl.
Spec crawl.
A Specsavers crawl.
Mm.
That would be fantastic because there's different designs. They've got a Country Road design.
Well, they've got Alex Perry, they've got Country Road, Tommy Hilfiger.
You used to work at Country Road.
Oh, men's collections here at Myer. So yeah, sold Country Road,
so you could have worn them.
I could have.
You could have worn them like Clark Kent.
Yeah, yeah.
Gone in, changed, come out of Superman.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And people would go on, no, come back out as Clark Kent with those great sunglasses on. You look way better.
Yeah, from Specsavers, yeah.
From Specsavers.
Tommy Hilfiger, Converse, Hugo Boss, Levi's as well.
We just had Paul Kelly in here, one of the great songwriters.
Without doubt.
Of our generation. He should write a song about Specsavers. He would write a really good song about Specsavers.
Because, I mean, there have been other songs about seeing
what?
Clearly now. Like, Jimmy Cliff had this song.
Oh. I can see.
Now, Specsavers could use this one.
Yeah, okay, I'll go.
Right, let's
just watch this.
I can see all obstacles in my way.
Thanks to Specsavers. Look, now I'm on the cowbell.
Wow.
Specsavers. Oh, yeah.
Gotta be bright.
Come on. Well done, Specsavers.
Get sunglasses.
Oh, that is good.
Brilliant.
Hey, I love them dearly. The multifocals are the new thing town. Long distance, short distance,
that's
whatever
it.
You want.
And
you
$150 off for a limited time too.
Oh, people, get involved. Front up. Even if you've got 20/20 vision, pop them on because you look better.
That's
you
it.
Do look better.
Of course you do.
You'll be a head turner as you swan down the street.
Specsavers.
Yes, yeah. Specsavers.
It'll just a little nod to the Specsavers.
I have to have him.
Yeah.
It's the glasses I'm after.
Mm.
Specsavers.
All right, come on. I can see clearly
now the rain is gone. Specsavers.
Mick's doing this in his Speedos. It's quite the look. I can see all. It's Malloy.
I'm going on tour.
Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
That's it for another day of Malloy.
Big show today.
Oh, you got a podcast. If you've missed any of the show, or you've already heard
it. What was your favourite bits? Was it?
I think Paul Kelly doing Careless was high
was
up there for me.
Good.
Glenn Robbins.
Not how I would have done it, but
really?
I thought he was good. Yeah.
Well,
I would have added more cowbell.
Would you? You could have gone
I was
out.
So itching. I was itching.
Well, why didn't you?
Did you think
when, lost his
was
pick.
Was I being a bit obvious, like waving around
the fact,
my drumstick?
He was a bit put off by it, but next time he comes in.
Glenn Robbins, very good as
he's
always. The greatest cardigan wearer Australia's ever seen.
He's a national treasure.
I'll, right now. And Lee Sale's given us the guff.
All we
down
need
the deep end of the pool.
So you get everything on this show.
You get a little bit
rock,
of everything. What do
sport,
you get tomorrow?
Comedy. Tomorrow you got Jim Jefferies, by the way,
oh
more
God.
Tickets to give away to his show. Which
are we
is
still
going...
giving tickets away to the best? This will be the best stand-up show of the year, bar none, make no mistake.
International superstar. Does us proud on the
overseas. He goes bonkers
scene.
On
yeah, yeah.
there. On,
bit fruity.
On
it's an all-ages show, which is
it's
interesting.
It's a bit fruity, but it's effing funny.
That's right.
Fruity as F.
Yeah. And being a Thursday, tomorrow we'll get on Gone Wild as well. We take a peek at what's happening in the animal world.
There's a prehistoric hyena that used to eat humans.
Like
Neanderthals. Like dog food.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Imagine the lash onto your noggin.
Don't look at me like that.
Well, now I'm imagining it.
That's tomorrow's Malloy Triple M.
This has been the Malloy Drive Show podcast. Get $150 off Specsavers quality range of multifocal lenses for better vision, near or far. Should have gone to Specsavers. Limited time, conditions apply.